You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Some guy walks up to me. He says to me,
"This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Aren't you Susie Schuster's husband?"
No.
With guest host, Susie Schuster.
I want to take a minute to talk about Caleb Williams.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This is a kid who just wanted to go to his mom. When did him need to be comforted become a sign that he's soft?
Earlier on the show, Yahoo Sports columnist Dan Wetzel. Coming up, two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning. Marconi Award winner Rich Eisen. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Well, hi, everybody. Susie Schuster here on The Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to be with you again on this Thursday. TJ Jefferson, good morning. How are you? The candle is lit.
Candle's lit. The mimosas are chilled. And all is right with the world.
I'm just saying that we decided, after the first hour, we're like, what are we doing with our lives? Let's just pour a drink.
I got to say, it's delicious. Wherever you are right now, Just pour one. I mean,
it's delightful.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's go.
It's sweet. It's bubbly. It's divine. Mike Del Tufo, how are you this morning, old pal?
I'm doing well.
I talked Del Tufo into having
some. You are not serious people.
When
when Rich gets home, he can do what he wants on this set, but he's not here right now.
Exactly.
And so I got thirsty.
So, Suze, the other day, somebody on Twitter made a tweet about like how we were wilding out because we had a substitute teacher when Rich isn't here. We do kind of. I mean, we're a lot more buttoned up, I do admit, when Rich is here, but, you know, I'm not going to say this out loud, but it's a little bit more fun when you're here sometimes.
Yeah, I know. A little higher register. Yeah, it is.
You know, I don't want him to hear that because I like this job.
In the class,
you know,
like, yeah.
Substitute.
Although I do get very proprietorial about this desk. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I'm a little pissy.
Yeah, you don't like us having fun with other people.
No, I don't.
Sit in the chair.
I want you to remember where your loyalty should be. I want you to remember who brings you breakfast. Here's a hint. It's not Andrew.
Look, Susie, I know for a fact you're one of the
Steve
reasons
Weiss?
I'm even sitting here. So
did Steve Weiss
you know, I know where
Steve
my
Weiss did
butter.
Not bring donuts.
No. Did Steve Weiss bring donuts?
No,
did he bring croissants?
I dropped
a kid off at school and still brought these morons breakfast. I'm just saying, entering. So whatever. Ew. I mean, I guess women can do more than men can.
I think that's a fact.
Before we talk about the football game coming up, before we talk about the Lakers, and oh, by the way, not heading in a great direction.
34.
Do you know what my favorite snapback is when people write to me?
Yo,
if they want to say something mean? I got a couple. No. Susie should stay in the kitchen. And I'm like, for what?
Somebody, they say that?
For what? I'm not cooking. What am I going to do in there?
I've never seen you cook.
Yes, you have. You liar. You have. And by the way, I can cook, but I don't want to. Why? So my kids can tell me that they'd rather have somebody else's?
That's not how it works.
I mean, pretty much. Oh, I made the big mistake. I thought, I'm going to have my kids, they're going to get to have a say in what they're eating, because I hated being told what to eat when I was a kid. Big mistake. Big, huge. Never again. So yeah, that's my favorite. It's like, oh, Susie should stay in the kitchen. I'm like, why?
What?
What am I going to do in there? Chris just fell asleep thinking about Thursday Night Football, so why don't we just...
Hey, well, I have two parlays riding on the under tonight, so I'll be watching.
So you're basically watching just to make money.
Trying.
Okay.
That's the only reason he watches sports.
I mean, I can talk about that because I'm not an official...
Oh, that is true.
...paid employee of the National Football League, so I'm more than happy to have that discussion. Should you need to.
Yeah, it's a low total tonight, in case anybody out there is partaking. I know Chris Long, wherever he is, he's an underdog too. 38.5. Bears by 3. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I kind of hope Bryce Young is a good game, TJ. I want this guy to succeed. I know I had an overreaction on the podcast this week.
You did? That's so unlike you.
Download wherever you get your podcast.
That's the point of the podcast, Chris.
Watch on YouTube. I said that Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud is going to be like Greg Oden and Kevin Durant.
Oh.
It just, it feels that way right now. C.J. Stroud has been so awesome. 14 touchdowns, one pick. He's playing great for Houston. They're in the playoff mix. They're sniffing it. And meanwhile, Bryce Young he's looked overmatched out there. He's looked small. He's been the Andrew Siciliano of quarterbacks.
Oh, wow. That's not nice.
Sorry, I just gave Andrew a stray.
He'll be back tomorrow.
He'll be back tomorrow.
He won't.
It hasn't looked good for the Panthers. So I do want to see them on the big stage tonight, Thursday Night Football, short week. And I'd like to see a close game. I'm just not anticipating a lot of points, that's all.
Speaking of small and Kevin Durant, I watched or saw somebody had a great shot of Kevin Durant in Wembanyama. And by the way, he makes Kevin Durant look small.
Yeah,
he makes everyone look small.
It's for real.
By the way, I did get to see, and again, for those of you just joining, you can watch us on Roku on repeat, which is how I tend to watch the show, in between texting the guys at breaks of things that I think you should do differently. I did watch the end of the Spurs game in Madison Square Garden last night and watched him kind of have a how's your mother, how's your father invitation to Madison Square Garden or his opening experience there. And he was really wowed by the history of the building, the youngest team in the league, of course. But you did see what happens when a team plays physically on him. And Victor did say he was played like that all through the European League. But God, he's so reedy. He's so lean that you can really kind of lean into him physically and hold him back.
Yeah, you're kind of seeing that too with Chet Holmgren, TJ for OKC. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a great game last night. These guys are young. I mean, Wemby's 19 years old. Chet is, what, 20, 21?
19, 20. Yep.
So give these guys some time. Remember when Kevin Durant came into the league? You know, he famously at the combine couldn't bench, you know, 185 or whatever, and he was a string bean. So
he was spindly, they like to say.
Not that Durant ever actually, you know, put on muscle like Giannis. Giannis was super thin when he entered the league. Jason Tatum the same way. And those guys have kind of bulked up and are pretty muscular now. So, you know, you're kind of hoping that Wemby and Chet and some of these guys who are rookies, who are lean on the lean side, the tall lean, you know, they give them time, you know, get in the gym. They can put on 15, 20 in the offseason and then we'll see them as different players.
But yeah, they're never going to be, you know, Mike Yoke. They're never going to be just swole, but they're going to get strong for their frame.
They're not going to be Dale Davis or Ben Wallace.
Yeah,
they're not going to be those type of players.
But they're going to get as strong as, you know, their frames can hold. And you could tell those two kids, man, they're both hard workers. They're very much into this.
Yeah.
I expect them both to have hopefully long and healthy careers. You know, injuries hopefully stay away. And we can see what these guys are fully capable of. And I think as basketball fans, that's all you really want. Like, I love watching Wemby. I think I've only missed one Spurs game. I've seen parts of pretty much every game this year.
Same.
And it's just like, I just want to watch this guy. And he didn't have a good three quarters against the Knicks yesterday. In the fourth, he kind of played a lot better than he did in the first three. But he's still like an attraction. Like, you want to see him. And anytime he gets hit, I'm just like, man, I hope he doesn't get hurt. Because I want to see where this kid can go.
No, it's must-watch TV. Cage comes in the living room. Wemby. He
knows him.
Otani. It's like he knows these guys. They're going to be on TV. They're going to be in his life as a sports fan.
Yeah, until
you know,
late
forever
teens.
And until he retires. So it's fun. I can't wait. Like I said, Spurs games are on. I'm watching because it's fascinating.
You know who's not happy? LeBron James. Not happy at all with this Lakers nightmare road trip.
Yeah, brutal.
They lost last night in Houston, 128-94. That is a flat out blowout. Eight games into the season, LA's 3-5, 0-3 on its 4-game road trip. They are now 0-5 outside of crypto, and I still have trouble calling it crypto, but that's neither here nor there. And we had Joe Vardon on from The Athletic yesterday. We talked about numbers and minutes for LeBron James, and this is what he had to say.
He's playing more minutes than he was supposed to. You know, that's been an early storyline in the NBA and with the Lakers, and it goes back to opening night. After the game, both he and his coach confirmed that this is the plan for the year, that he's going to play around 30 minutes, which would be way fewer than he's ever averaged in 20 previous seasons. He didn't sound happy about it, but the idea is like they're trying to preserve this player who's still great, but he's about to be 39 years old. He's missed 110 games, something like that, over the last 5 years with the Lakers. And this minutes restriction lasted all of one game. So they just I don't, you know, it's a combination of the Lakers not being as good as they thought they might be when he's not on the floor, and also just the incredibly high level that he's playing. And they've had some overtime games as well. So that's his mindset now, is he's, you know, he's taking on a workload that we've seen throughout his entire career. And he's just trying to get the Lakers into a good place.
Yeah, and Darvin Ham came up with a great way to save his minutes by having him sit the entire fourth quarter of the game last night.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't good last night for OA. No Anthony Davis. You know, LeBron only played 27 minutes, only put up 13 shots. They were never in the game. So disappointing. You know, but remember, they started, was it 2-10 last year?
They were awful last year.
Yeah, and so, you know, they ended up being a playoff team. So I'm not worried yet if I'm a Laker fan. Austin Reeves, I think the way he's being used and involved in this offense, I think is a little concerning through the first 2 weeks, but lots of time to figure it out.
Yep, and they're hopeful that Anthony Davis will be back for the game on Friday against the Phoenix Suns.
Look, Susie, spasms on your groins, hey, that's nothing to play around with. So,
is that your fantasy team?
I might as well be now. Yeah. Groin spasms.
The weirdest tweet ever.
I mean, by the way, there are some uncomfortable tweets to read on the air when you're a woman, and that's one of them. That's one of those where you're like, wait a minute, send it over to you, Chris Brockman, for an update on Anthony Davis's groin.
Let me read what Chum says.
I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, really bizarre. But yeah. Anyway, do you want to talk Celtics Sixers, TJ?
Would you like to talk Celtics Sixers, TJ?
Okay, I can already tell you how this is going to go, right? Because I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pound my chest and say, yeah, the Sixers did this, that, and the third. And Brockman is just going to be Brockman. Goes, well, get done the playoffs against us, which we haven't been able to do. And he's going to be right. And I won't have a comeback. And there you go. That's going to be it. Until the Sixers are able to overcome the Celtics in the playoffs, much like I always say about the Cowboys and the hurdle of getting past the Niners, until you're able to clear that hurdle, there's really nothing to talk about. It was a good win. We're playing very well. But, you know, all roads lead to the postseason against the Celtics as far as the Sixers are concerned. We got to get over that hump, and we haven't been able to lately.
Yeah, I think for you guys, too, it's kind of awesome to see Tyrese Maxey unleashed.
Yeah.
Now that James Harden is gone, this kid in his third year, right? He's really... You're really seeing what type of player he is and what he's capable in this league. I think he's already the runaway most improved player.
For sure.
And the way he's kind of running that offense and the speed at which he operates and plays games, it's really cool to see for you guys. Not that I'm rooting for you guys ever. But from Boston, just a disappointing night last night. Didn't shoot well from three, 15 for 47, so that's 32%. Porzingis played great. He's really been... everything that I, as a fan and Celtics fans, have hoped, him being added to this lineup, along with Drew Holiday, he has just been tremendous, exceeded expectations, mm-hmm. 29 last night, did miss the game-tying shot, but that was a 14-point game with 2 minutes to go. It never should have come down to that, so kind of whatever.
I'm not sure why Derek White turns into John Havlicek when he plays the Sixers, but
here we are. Maybe the most underrated player in the league for the way he's able to fill the stat sheet and everything that he does. But concerning so far is Jaylen Brown's piece in this offense. He looks a little bit lost. You know, Tatum has kind of taken his game to another level the last couple of years. He's averaging 30 a game this year. But Jaylen Brown gets that huge $300 million extension in the offseason. He's just kind of lost out there a little bit. Only 4 of 13 last night, 11 points. Need to get that worked out. But, again, kind of like the Lakers, it's the first 2 weeks of the year. Lots of time to kind of figure this stuff out. Boston's going to be there at the end. Philly's going to be there at the end. We're probably going to see these two teams play each other in the playoffs, and then, you know, we can talk in May.
Tatum can do no wrong in our house. We actually got a pair of Tatums last night for basketball season for Cooper.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Oh,
nice.
Yeah, we did.
The lightest basketball shoe in the market right now.
Is it really?
I think so, yeah.
Well, Coop walks like he's stomping on, like, you know, he walks like the weight of 1,000 horses.
Well, Coop's a giant, and he's kind of grown a little bit fast for a 12-year-old, so I think he's kind of like a Bambi situation where he's kind of trying to grow into his body, right, Suze?
He is. He's a gangly 5'10", 12-year-old.
Yeah.
But by the way, stomping around. But yeah, Jason Tatum's a good thing that they're the lightest shoes because you can hear him coming a mile away. A mile away. Should we talk about Giannis here or should we wait on Giannis? What do you think?
Well, Eli's up next, right? So let's just go quick on Giannis.
Let's go on Giannis.
Oh, okay. So let's do Giannis right
now. Yeah.
What do you think of that?
So Giannis, of course, getting tossed last night for his second unsportsmanlike technical foul in the win against the Detroit Pistons. Do you guys remember about year three for Kobe Bryant when suddenly he went street and he wanted to like show what a tough guy he was?
Yeah.
You know, because Kobe came in, he came in the league like 17. Shiny, like a shiny penny, like a really like just everyone kept talking about this is the best kid. His attitude was great, blah, blah, blah. And same with Giannis, because everyone just talks about how he is the best guy to deal with. Mm-hmm. He's like a dream for a reporter. You know, he answers all the questions. He has great conversations. He's polite. He's lovely. He's European. And it just reminds me a little bit of that. Like, I wonder, is there any part of him where he's like, I'm going to show people I'm a bad boy too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think that. It just feels strangely reminiscent.
He's in what, year 11 now at this point?
Giannis?
Yeah.
Oh, to 8 maybe?
He's not at 11.
No, he hasn't been
around. He came in 13. 2013 was his rookie season.
Was it really?
Yeah. So, I mean, with all
Are you sure he didn't start last year?
He's 28.
Doesn't he feel fresh to you?
So, with everything he's accomplished, he's already won championships, MVPs, yep. DPOYs.
Yep.
I think he's past that point. I think we already know now. You can just, Chris, you spoke earlier about his body transformation when he went from spindly, as you put it, to jacked and yoked. So, I don't think that's the case.
You're right. This is year 11. That's
crazy. It doesn't feel
that's
like crazy. Year 11. What?
Crazy. So, I just feel like yesterday was just a weird thing where, Chris, like you said, like maybe the ref didn't realize he already had a T, but even at that, if you're going to give someone a taunting technical, they should really be taunting. Staring at somebody for 1.2 seconds, in my opinion, should not warrant getting a T, and especially shouldn't warrant one of the faces of the league getting tossed out of the game for that. Like that,
I thought that was ridiculous.
Insane to me.
Yeah, that was an ejection that shouldn't have happened.
I've seen guys, you know, knee each other in the groin and kick each other in the groin and not get kicked out of a game for it, and yet, you know, here you go, like, I'm going to stare at you because I just dunked on you. Like, I don't know. I didn't like that at all.
What do you think, Chris?
I hope it's a situation where the ref just kind of lost his head and forgot Giannis's foul situation and T situation, but again, it's kind of like the NFL and the roughing the passer and all this stuff. These guys know the rules, so I get it, heat of the moment and all that.
But you know, it's funny because
I'm kinda torn.
But the Lakers always say that LeBron is officiated differently.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it now? Is this evidence that he's not
Giannis?
I mean,
rule? This guy's a superstar, an MVP, one of the faces of the league.
I love him.
He should be officiated a little differently. He's also got to know his own situation. He's got to know that he already had a T in the game. And I get it, big play, big moment, but it's like early third quarter. Just don't do it. I mean, I get it. It's like the eighth game of the year, but come on. He's got to be better than that, too.
Yeah, I still think it was like the biggest non-call. I like it when coaches...
It was lame.
I like it when coaches get teed up. Like, I think it's kind of fun for some of the players that when they see their coach, like Steve Kerr, got teed up.
Steve Kerr was about to get tossed last night, it felt like.
Yep. I mean, he got emotional. Like, I mean, Steph Curry was a little pissed at some of those calls last night as well. I mean, there were a couple manhandling calls that didn't go his way.
It's kind of like officiating across the board in all sports. It's been so lousy this year, it seems like. Major League Baseball, for sure, in the playoffs. I mean, it's basically time for robo-umps, essentially. NFL has been brutal at times. I don't know. Maybe there's just something in the water.
Let's ask Rich Eisen about it when he calls into his own show from Frankfurt. He's coming up next here on his own show, on the Rich Eisen Show. He will join us from Frankfurt, and we will see yet another hotel room from him and whether or not he looks like he's in a tanning bed, according to somebody else on Twitter.
You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
Half redneck, half posh. 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
it should. You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And it is my pleasure to welcome in Rich Eisen to his own show. How are you, honey?
What's up, Rich?
What's up, hon? How are you, hon?
You're back in your room. You're back safely from Frankfurt.
I'm in Frankfurt. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I got back on the train today, and as soon as I got off the train, two you know, very big German men met me right on the train track station platform, and I didn't recognize them at first. They're the same people that have been, you know, helping with security for the Chiefs Dolphins game. So for a split minute, I thought they were going to come up to me and say, "Sir, we know you were biking with a Russian national in Berlin yesterday. We need to have some conversations about it." Then it just hopped in my, "Oh, these are guys with me." And I texted you, Susie. I felt like Ethan Hunt being led through the Frankfurt train station to the car, you know. But it was a nice welcome back. I'm back here. We meet with the Colts tomorrow, the Patriots Saturday. And then the game Sunday, and then I'm back with everybody on Monday.
Nice.
So that's the way it's working. I'm back here.
You're back.
How are things going there? How's everything going there?
No, we're drinking. So
we're
that's
okay. Yeah. We're okay.
I'm a tad bit tipsy.
What do you mean? It's Mimosa Thursday. Is that what it is?
Rich Eisen, act like you know.
Well, since Andrew's coming back tomorrow, I thought we would
break out the champagne. It's great that Andrew's coming back, Susie. This is why do you say that?
Because Rich. Mm-hmm. Andrew's a part of the circle of life now here, and because it's also a great like joke line. Like, what does Andrew bring you? Does Andrew bring you croissants? I don't think he does.
He brings positivity.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He does.
No, he
doesn't. He brings his A game.
He does not bring positivity all the time. But Rich, Susie wants all the guest hosts to know that there is a call sheet. All right, and she's number one on that guest host call sheet.
I just don't want them, Rich, to get too comfortable in this chair. I want them to know that there is a pecking order, and
it's because they don't know that already. Okay, very good.
You live with me.
Yeah, but that's not why you're in the chair, though, Suze. So you know,
that's right.
Let's be straight up.
Also, I may or may not have Ron Burgundy'd a read earlier.
Most definitely.
Okay.
And said, "That's right, stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long." And I tried to cover it by saying, "What the football?" But then I was like,
nice.
I'm like, I can't get fired, so why not?
It didn't work.
How you doing, Rich? How you doing with the Michigan stuff? Are you sweating? Are you okay?
Well, what did Dan Wetzel say? What did he say in hour one?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Nice.
No, just kidding. I got the sense, and tell me if I'm wrong, that he thinks that the NCAA and the Big Ten are wading into really dangerous territory with this.
Yeah.
I just think he feels like there's like everyone's doing this. And so to bring the hammer down on Jim sets a strange and dangerous
precedent. Well, I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing. Because, you know, straight up, like, is everybody sending, you know, Connor Stallions types into stadiums?
According to Dan, yes, Rich.
I did Michigan know that Connor Stallions was using his own name and his own Venmo and getting a whole bunch of, you know, shaky, we would assume, camera video and using that to break down along with game tape, like, say, Ohio State and Rutgers did to get Michigan's signs last year and apparently hand it to Purdue in time for the Big Ten championship game last year, as Michigan says they have the goods on that and included that in their 10-page letter that Dan Wetzel came on in hour one to talk about to Tony Petitti. And that's the issue. I mean, as a Michigan fan, I'm just hoping that Connor Stallions was just doing this on his own. And Michigan was just, I guess, in the long run, foolish enough to just think that, oh, it must be his military background why he's so damn good at this. And, you know, and it invites, say, defensive coordinators at Penn State to have fun and trolling videos talking about, let's come up with signs like, this is the time to hear from you on third down on Saturday. And I saw that and I'm sitting there going, this guy's got a set. He's got some brass to do that sort of thing because Michigan's a better team and should go in and stick their maize and blue foot where the sun doesn't shine and break it off. And that's basically all that's left for Michigan to do. Because when you put yourself out there, when you have a guy who's dressing up like Bobby Valentine on the sideline of Central Michigan, or, you know, refurbishing vacuums and sticking them out on his front porch, and this guy's on your sideline, you are opening yourself up to this sort of trolling and this sort of criticism that you see from ESPN. They're going, a lot of people on that network are going all in, including Stephen A., who's been, you know, friends of ours for quite some time. You know, this is what happens when you open yourself up to this sort of thing. But to answer your question, Suze, you know, is this an outlier? Is this the only school who's doing this sort of thing? Is everybody stealing signs and disseminating it to other teams, like apparently Ohio State and Rutgers did to Purdue, and Michigan curb stomped all three of them? So that's the question, is what did they know? When did it happen exactly? I think that is more, I guess, well known. And then on top of it, what did it mean? Did it affect anything? Will we ever have the answer to that? The only thing that Michigan can do, just to repeat one more time,
win.
Is to go out against Penn State
and win,
crush them, Maryland and Ohio State. And then that'll be the end of that. And then win the Big Ten championship, win two more games, win the national championship, and have people talk about asterisks and things like that. Okay, so be it. That's the way it works.
Let's take your blood pressure down a little bit. I'm getting a little concerned. You're getting a little worked
really
up
hot
there.
Yeah. Really hot.
You're right. Oh. So we're not the only ones drinking, people.
I like it.
Rich is currently imbibing a nice red in a crystal glass as opposed to, I think he froze, but
he froze.
We'll come back to him. Uh-oh. Is that a sign?
I was hoping he was reaching over, he'd pull a pretzel out.
By the way, that would be next level.
That was Ryan Day cutting off his feed.
And by the way, if he doesn't come back with a pretzel, carefully wrapped and sealed in some kind of Ziploc bag, I'm just saying, if Marshall Faulk's going to make me beignets next week, Rich has got to come home with a fresh German pretzel, right? Don't you think? I mean, come on. I don't ask that much, do I?
Is going to travel? I mean, what is it?
That is true. It's going to be hard.
If he leaves on Monday.
Let's see. How long is the flight to Berlin?
Oh, it's 12 hours.
Frankfurt. Yeah.
13 hours. 13 and a half.
10:50.
Damn it.
Yeah. And Susan and Chris and Mike, you know, that was one thing that I did pick up on that Dan said, and he said it just very matter-of-factly. He goes, everyone has sign stealers. Like,
yes, but everyone. are they legally getting the sign stealing, like off of television, scouting opponents for next year, which is legal, or are they going about it the way this Michigan fella did? Illegally in person for the games they're playing this year.
This is because of idiocy, Chris.
That's the question.
This is just because of sheer idiocy in the way in which Stallions got the info. Rich, are you back with us?
What do you expect? I mean, it's a bunch of macho dudes running a football program. Like, this isn't rocket science.
And by the way, like, I will tell you this firsthand. We all know this, that college football coaches love military background. They always think they're going to get something special. All right, Rich. Top five. Yes. Are you done drinking? Can you take a second and enlighten us on your top five?
Was I a little bit too aggressive? Is that what you're saying? Before I thought I heard you say something.
Your voice definitely went up an octave, and you were a little more in your face,
but not in a higher.
It's been
register
three. It's been 3 days of hearing this stuff, which is building up. I haven't said anything.
Stop cheating.
All right, here we go.
Wow!
That's your boy right there. That's your boy.
You pay that guy.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here's my top five. My top five games that I'm looking forward to the most. The most intriguing matchups for this coming week. Number five, I'm still sticking with the Jets being intriguing. They got, I guess, one more game of being intriguing. Well, and it's also who they're taking on. They're taking on the Vegas Raiders, who have a chance to get to 500. Can they continue the Antonio Pierce magic? It'll be Zach Wilson against the Purdue quarterback last year, who had Michigan's plays thanks to Ohio State and Rutgers in the Big Ten championship game for Purdue. It's not great when it happens to other people, I guess. So long story short is, can Antonio Pierce magic on Sunday Night Football in front of the whole country with Aiden O'Connell and this obviously more happy, it appears, Vegas Raiders team. Can they go ahead and do it? And can the Jets beat the team that fields the number 17 that they tried to get at the trade deadline? Lots of intriguing aspects here coming off of that Jet egg that got laid on Monday Night Football against the Los Angeles Chargers. Next up on this list, number four, I'm going with the Texans, folks. Yeah. I don't think I've had an intriguing matchup involving the Texans yet this year, but Texans at Bengals. Two Ohio State quarterbacks, right? C.J. Stroud, the latest, and Joe Burrow, who said this week that he went to school at Ohio State and played football at LSU, which I'm sure his professors down in the bayou appreciated. But nonetheless, Joe Burrow playing some of the best football we've seen in the last month. He's healthy. He's killing it. Can the Cincinnati Bengals keep rolling on against the Texans team that has, I guess, arguably the hottest quarterback in the NFL, the already wrapped up offensive rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud? Number three on this list, can the Chargers keep it up? They head home after winning two in a row against the Bears and the Jets. Now here come the Lions, coming off of a bye week, and the Lions at the Chargers, to me, is fascinating. Jared Goff, back where he once belonged in Los Angeles, in SoFi Stadium, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. I think this is an intriguing matchup with the Lions trying to get their seventh win. Number two on this list, Browns, Ravens in M&T Bank. The Ravens have absolutely foreclosed on their last two opponents in the bank. It was the Lions getting smoked. It was the Seahawks getting smoked. What about the Browns bringing Myles Garrett trying to chase down Lamar Jackson? It is the first matchup of Deshaun versus Lamar. Due to injuries, we haven't seen it yet from last year to this year. Can't wait to see this one. How well can the Browns play on the road where everybody has been getting crushed and the Ravens putting some of the best football out there on the line? Number one of my top five most intriguing matchups for week number 10 coming up is 49ers, Jaguars, both coming off a bye. Both teams having serious aspirations. The 49ers having theirs doused over the last 3 weeks with three losses in a row. They've been sitting on that for an entire fortnight. Here come the Jaguars, who started 1-2, now 6-2, the longest winning streak in the NFL at 5 games right now, putting it on the line against Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. It's going to be a great one. The 49ers against the Jaguars, the most intriguing matchup for me for week number 10. Coming up this weekend.
You think we need one more?
Sure, why not?
All right, we'll get one more.
Thanks, George. Appreciate that. I was just, you know, because there's an eye in Rich and eyes, and I was going to put Colts and Patriots up there, try to be a good company man, see if there'll be a little something extra in my paycheck, but I just can't do it. But still tune in, please. 9:30 a.m. Eastern time for all of us to be there for you here in Frankfurt, Germany. Kyler Murray's back, and the Atlanta Falcons are starting the Fitzmagic 2.0 again in Taylor Heineke. And I can't wait to see what Kyler looks like. James Conner's going to be back. This team that currently holds the top spot in the draft with so much talent at the top of next year's draft. They have the number one overall pick, but it looks like they're putting their best players back out on the field. James Conner off of IR. Kyler Murray off of his knee injury, his first start. And boy, do the Falcons need this. And will Bijan get the football more than Algier? Like, that's the question. I know you spoke about it with Marshall Faulk yesterday. What's up with that? That is another intriguing matchup, and that's my top five for y'all right there.
I like it.
Let's revisit that in the third hour. The Bijan of it all, shall we?
I know you got to get to Eli.
We got to get to break. Eli Manning joins us next, and I will ask him if he knows why our son's name is Cupper. All right, we'll see you in the third hour, Rich.
All right, brother.
See you. Have another glass.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
And Eli Manning joins us now on the Rich Eisen Show. And Eli, I promise you, I'm a lot more fun than Rich is. And I seem to get you and your brother every time Rich is out of the seat, and it really annoys him. But that's neither here nor there. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I actually requested you. I said, when's Rich out of town, then I'll come on the show.
That's usually what happens. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have an Emmy and he doesn't. So that's all I have to say. And by the way, I have to tell you this, and I'll tell you before we talk about your Quaker pregame tour. I was pregnant with Cooper, our son, Cooper, and I was with your dad at the Super Bowl in New Orleans that long ago. So our Cooper is 12. And it was because of a conversation. Well, two things. Number one, our son wanted a Mini Cooper for a brother. But after having dinner with your dad and we kept hearing Cooper all night, I said, you know what? That might be it. So we have the unofficial other Manning brother, which I'm sure that my husband has tried to sell you on before, but I had to share that with you before we even went anywhere. Because you've got four kids and your house is probably crazier than mine is.
It's crazy. It's four kids playing, each of them playing multiple sports. And it's a crazy time, but that's how we grew up. It was wild and playing sports and outside and running around. So they're staying busy, which is good.
So how close to growing up in your house is the Manning cast then? Because last night when I was watching the basketball game, I had two boys attacking each other and two dogs destroying toys and a daughter who's in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, that's life now. I'm still waiting for the kids to like bust in on my Manning cast live and come, wrestle with me, a dog, running with someone's, stuffed animal and girls crying behind the dog. So that's life. I think if Peyton and I were really together, or if we were in the same room, like that would not be good for the Manning cast. We would start wrestling eventually. There would be a doggy involved. That's why we had to go separate houses. He's in Denver. I'm in New Jersey. That keeps it somewhat civil.
Yeah, because I think it's birth order. Would he just sit on you? Is that what he would do?
Yeah, he just like comes in, be like, move. I'll take the remote. I'm handling the clicker. I'll be, fast forwarding, rewinding all the plays. I get to talk the most. I'm the oldest. He feels he gets that right. And, that worked when he was 5 years older than me. When he's 12 and I'm 7, I couldn't really fight back. Now that I'm 42 and stronger than him, and then, now I can fight back. And that hurts his ego when I beat him up.
Okay, so you said that. You are stronger than your brother Peyton. Say that again right to camera.
I mean, I think everybody knows that I'm stronger than Peyton. He the only thing that Peyton's really good at in lifting, and it's been like this freak thing, and he used to brag about it until no one, really cares. He's really good at leg hamstring curls, like that machine where you lay down and you do your hamstring curl. He's like freakishly strong at hamstring curls. They make that machine anymore. It's not even in existence because it's not very important, but that's something that he is stronger than me. If you can find one of those machines, like an old warehouse, he would be able to beat me at that.
I was going to say that's from like a fitness center in the 80s when women wore like leggings, right? And warmers, I think.
Yep. Yes. And Peyton wore leggings and warmers also.
do you have a picture of that you could send us? Because that might be useful for the next interview.
I don't, not on me right now, but I'll look. I mean, we might have one somewhere. I don't know. I doubtful, but I'll be on the lookout for it.
Before I ask you about a donkey, because you have to, tell me the worst thing you can think of your brother that nobody knows about so you can sell him down the river.
Oh, worst thing about...
There's got to be something. You guys have been around forever, but I feel like there's something that you can... float out there for us.
Yeah, he's just always been very concerned about his hair. Like he's very concerned about his hair. He used to I just remember him being like 15 years old and I'm 10 and he's going to school or he had maybe his first dance or something and like hours like trying to get the perfect comb. He has test tried every possible comb. I saw him use a Sharpie one time. He's like, I think this Sharpie is like the best way to comb the hair. So very concerned about it. And it's a sensitive topic.
I mean, the only follow-up I can think of is who had better game in high school?
Oh,
I mean, I don't think either of us really have much bragging rights on that.
Had the Rich Eisen show brand of game. Is that what happens? Because Rich apparently did not have much game in high school.
I have a feeling it was about the same. We were all playing so many sports. It was just that was like our only focus. We were playing. It was straight from football right into the basketball season, right into baseball, where we just very little game.
Eli Manning joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what happens when you're doing a broadcast and you're interviewing one of the biggest stars in the world and a donkey comes into the video?
Yeah, you kind of pause. I'm like looking up and I'm like, are we live? Like, I don't even know. Am I supposed to be introducing him now? Is something going wrong? And is there a donkey? Am I seeing things? I'm like, I guess, all right, I'm just going with it. I'm just asking, you know, kind of, I had my introduction scripted. I stayed on the script. I didn't go right into the donkey question. But yeah, I mean, there were some like weird noises going on. He's feeding him. It was shocking. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, Eli, I don't think it's normal to have a donkey in your living room. And as weird as Arnold is, and he is an eccentric man to say the least, that has to be the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you ever in your life, don't you think?
I think so. Just you're going to sit down, have a conversation with someone and they're feeding a donkey. So I think we made the best of the circumstances. Took some shots at the donkey, took some shots at Peyton about being probably named after the donkey and they have similar eating habits. So I think it worked. Worked out well, under the tough situation.
Had you ever met him before?
I'd never met Arnold. I know his story. I've watched a little bit of the documentary on him, which is interesting. I think he has an unbelievable story of where he came from, how he got here, how he became a movie star to a governor. I mean, it's just an unbelievable story of his success.
Who's the best guest you've ever had on the Manning cast that you're Ooh. Thinking, I cannot believe that I have this person?
Well, I think we've had great guests. I mean, Snoop Dogg is awesome. Marshawn Lynch offered me a shot of Hennessy. Snoop, there was definitely like a fog in the background of his Zoom that I'd never seen before. I don't know. He must have had a fog machine in his studio. But I mean, the fact that I have interviewed Barack Obama, former president of the United States, like I'm the least qualified person in the world to interview a former president like that should not have ever happened. And he was an unbelievable guest. So I think this, that mix of people we have on, for me to meet some of these people, to talk to them, to interview them, is really special for me.
Let's pay this off. Quaker celebrating this football season with its first ever Quaker pre-grain tour, which includes a fun tailgate truck that will visit select NFL stadiums. The introduction of a new digital Quaker playbook featuring a collection of 32 recipes to represent each NFL team. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, like you said, so, excited to kick off the first ever Quaker pre-grain tour. And if you're not unfamiliar with the word pre-grain, it's basically the start your pre-game routine with some Quaker oats, which I've been doing basically every morning for the last 15 years. I do it on game day, whether I'm going to play in a game or sitting on my couch. And so this will be a tailgate that's visiting NFL stadiums and introducing their new digital Quaker playbook, which is 32 recipes representing all the NFL teams. And that tour will end at the Super Bowl Taste of the NFL, and they'll announce a $250,000 donation to Quaker's longtime partner, Gen Youth, which is a nonprofit organization helping kids in their wellness and living a healthy lifestyle. So just really proud to partner with Quaker and share their same values, and that the circumstances of life should not ever be a barrier to good nutrition and helping these kids and young people get into a healthy habits of eating good food.
Now, Eli, Rich believes that pizza toppings are a window into the soul. So what is your oatmeal topping?
I am just tons of fruit. I'm a raspberry and blackberry on most cases. If we don't have that, I'll go strawberries and blueberries. If my wife helps me make it and she wants one, I'll make mine. And then she starts throwing granola and honey and all sorts of other yummy things, which I gladly eat as well. But if I'm just making it, just a bunch of fruit, some oatmeal, good to go.
Last question. Do you think that Daniel Jones has had his last snap as a Giant? And then I'll let you go.
I hope not. I hope not. I'm a fan of Daniel. He's become a great friend of mine. I see how hard he works. I see how important it is to him to play for the New York Giants, to play quarterback. He's made improvements in every year, try to fix the things that he needs to work on. So I see his commitment. It's been a tough year. The injuries, the worst part of football and sports, I think, are injuries and having to deal with this. But I think he's still got a lot of great football ahead of him. I think the Giants have a good nucleus of great guys and great leaders and great coaches that they can bounce back quickly.
Visit QuakerOats.com/pregrain tour to learn more about the Quaker pregrain tour and recipe playbook. Eli, thank you so much for your time. Thank your entire group. Thank the donkey that came into the screen because it gave us something to talk about all last week and this week. And say hi to your dad for me and tell Abby that I feel her pain because I've got 3 or 4 pickups after this.
Thank you so much. You're the best.
Take care. See you soon.
See you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You got to thank the donkey.
Got to thank the donkey. Obviously, anytime you can get to talk to Arnold, that's amazing. And that's, going to be a fun, exciting, most watched interview. But when you get a donkey appearance, I mean,
you
got to
thank the donkey.
Come on. That's next donkey! Level.
Who has a donkey in his house?
It's amazing.
Well, I mean, Schwarzenegger.
You guys.
One now.
Here's my question. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Sarah would throw you out. Let me ask you a question. Is there a door open all the time? Does the donkey relieve itself in the living room?
You know what? Great question, Andrew. We talked about that on Tuesday when he was here. I think if you watch the Arnold doc on Netflix, I think that Arnold has one of those free-flowing back areas.
Right.
And the donkey just roams free. But I think the donkey knows, like a dog, you're only supposed to go in certain spots.
You think the donkey is house-trained?
Donkeys. Very intelligent
Very
animals.
Yeah.
I think the donkey knows.
And plus the donkey, it has a cage in the backyard. So Arnold goes in the morning. He has multiple animals if you watch the documentary. And I'm sure it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's got one of those houses that, you know, the entire wall is glass and it's like a pocket door. So you can just open it up to the outside.
Right. Free flowing.
It's not like him living in my, you know, a little studio apartment in Reseda, California. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger we're talking about.
I got to tell you something. I haven't seen the documentary. I'm too busy running around town trying to pick up kids from different practices.
Like I said yesterday, you're trying to keep 4 human beings, 3 children, a husband, and 2 dogs alive. So you don't have that much time. We understandable.
You're doing great. Maybe tonight, halftime, Thursday Night Football, a little bit of a snooze fest. Just pop on the Arnold doc at halftime. You know what I mean?
I got to pick up at 8 o'clock in Encino. You should go get Cooper for me. It's so close to your house.
How about Cooper?
Hey, thanks
Cooper
for that. Why don't you go? You want to do that?
Cooper sleepover.
A little Coop sleepover with Cage Brockman? Fantastic. Wait a minute. Did you just offer to drive my kid home? You did? That's so nice of you, Chris Brockman.
I'm the best.
That was so thoughtful of you.
I'm amazing.
He's just trying to make up for that Tupperware situation.
Wait till I tell Rich in the next hour that Chris Brockman offered to pick up Coop and Encino and bring him home. Fantastic.
No problem.
Rich joins us back on his own show after this. Love talking to Eli Manning and...
Manning.
Thank you, Donkey.
Donkey!
Man, Eli just, that guy, he just gets it.
You know, Christian, this
man,
other thing.
He's so funny.
For as much as I love the Cowboys and the Giants, I've always said this to you. Of all
he
the
ended
teams,
the perfect season.
Of all the teams I don't like, the Giants I like the most out of all the teams I don't like because I've always liked Eli for back to college. Yeah. I've just, there's something about Eli. I just like Eli, man.
I love how he threw Peyton under the bus, though.
Always.
I mean, it's kind of like me throwing Andrew under the bus. It's like low hanging fruit. I think he's expected to come down or like the way people love to tease Rich about his hair because it's so original. I feel like there's a couple things you can do. It's like a meatball down the middle, right?
Yeah, just Chan Ho Park to Cal Ripken in the All-Star game.
Chan Ho Park.
Just right down the pipe.
You just Chan Ho'd?
Yeah. Chan Ho'd. You Chan Ho'd Eli, and he hit that out of the park.
He
like
did.
Cal.
And also, guys, what can you say about Peyton Manning, right? There's really nothing you can say. So it takes his little brother to come in and just come over the top and drop elbows on him. Because what was you going to say about Peyton Manning?
How about the Sharpie in his hair, though? Wasn't it Trevor Lawrence the other day that they had on? They put on Trevor's hair on Peyton.
Yeah, they put the hair. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence has amazing
My
hair,
cup though. Is looking really low, Chris.
Oh, sorry.
Got to get up on
saying
it.
It's 10:56 on the West Coast. I'm just saying, like, I just wouldn't want you to be paltry and you're poor.
Brought a little liquor.
How many glasses do you think Rich is into?
I don't
now?
Want to be. It looks Two? Like he's had a lot. The way he got hot on the
somebody said, "Is he in a tanning bed?" It's like Marshall was in Tron yesterday. We got both. More Rich Eisen Show when we come back.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azerrad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.